This is a HeadGum Podcast.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
So in walks Leanne Rimes. And you know, she's always just so pleased with herself.
I do. Yes.
And she's coming in out of the kitchen and she's holding her can and she goes, "Sorry, boys, just needed to obey my thirst." And I go, "Then why are you holding a 7-Up? You know, because it's like,
oh, no.
I mean, and I didn't, a lot of people I wouldn't destroy like that.
I know that you had to, but it just makes me feel
bad. Well, it's like all
bad.
Lemon lime sodas are the same.
Yeah, uncolas.
Please, they're not. And so it's like, you know, if she had said something about that Spot character.
Sure, Spot. Cool
I'd
Spot.
Be on board more than anyone.
Right.
You know, he's a hero of mine. He's like Joe Cool without all the baggage.
And that's right. Hey, welcome to Hollywood Handbook, an insider's guide to kicking butt and dropping names on the red carpet line back hallways of this industry we call showbiz.
What up, what up?
You've been reading in the news about scary new movie, The Suicide Squad.
And that trailer should be illegal.
Mm-hmm.
Or they should only have it in Germany or something. You can go there if you want that sick stuff. Have you heard some of the things they do over there?
In Germany?
Ugh.
You read about this movie and how the subject matter they're dealing with in this movie is very serious, very dark.
As dark as it gets.
Yeah. And so what they've done is they've hired an on-set psychiatrist to help the actors deal with these characters that they're...
And the depths which they're exploring in the recesses of their mind in these little... tunnels that we don't normally travel into.
Because the idea of living inside Captain Boomerang's world, that you get a stain on you at some point.
And that doesn't wash out. You can't put club soda on that.
At some point, how much of you is Jay Courtney and how much is Captain Boomerang?
Are Jay and which elements are Captain Boomerang, and how can you decipher when you're with your kids?
Yes, when you look in the
mirror. Am I going to suddenly boomerang one of them in the face? And it's a real question. It's a real challenge for these people, and they have to somehow decompress. And so they've started having these on-set therapists. And if I could, about this film briefly, didn't we have enough mean monsters that at least, and this is the first nice thing you'll hear me say about Frankenstein, at least when I see Frankenstein, I know that he's a bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
But one of these superheroes they got in this cage in this trailer has like a body like a real woman.
Yeah.
And I get confused about how to feel because I find out she's doing some... bad means stuff, and like what a wolfman might do, or Dracula and killing. But when I look at her, she looked like she's built for something else.
And with Frankenstein, there's no confusing sexual play.
No.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I know you're going to say, well, what about Bride of? She has that hair.
You don't like that.
Well, it's just
a
clear indicator.
But you like it on Marge. Is it just a color difference?
Yes. I mean, we don't have to get into the Marge thing. But anyway, so, you know, they invent this one, and then we were talking about Captain Boomerang, though.
Yeah. Well, I, just speaking for me personally, I support this. I'm glad that these resources are available now because there was a time.
I support the therapy.
That's what I'm saying, because there was a time when you couldn't talk about this stuff out loud, and that's why we got – what happened with Heath Ledger, you know? Some people say that he had a very serious drug addiction going into that movie. No, no, no. It was trying to be – it was putting on the makeup.
Living in
of the clown
mind
prince
of the Joker and,
yes.
and embracing chaos like that.
Yes.
And not having an analyst to talk to him on the way out.
And they talk about when Jim Carrey played the Grinch. Mm-hmm. He still hasn't fully shed that character. And he used to go home, put a knife in his mouth.
Well, if any, go ahead. What?
He used to go home from shooting the Grinch.
Mm-hmm.
And the darkness of that character, he'd take a sharp knife and just kind of rest it in his mouth.
Oh, yeah.
That was just his way of coping with it. Because
now,
he
would smear a big goop of peanut butter on it first.
Right.
But that's still
well, otherwise it's
dangerous.
All cold and tastes like metal.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And he'd fall asleep with a knife in his mouth, just in case if he could feel the Grinch taking over, that
he
would
wanted
be
to be able to pound on the back of the handle and drive it straight through the back of his neck.
Yes.
And I think if you watch some of the deleted scenes or making of featurettes around the Grinch is the one with all the vaccine problems.
Mm-hmm.
And he's never really been able to escape that mentality.
That's
and that's
right.
A little piece, that's a little seed that still
of
lives
the Grinch,
inside him.
Yes, yes, that's still in there. Or like when Jason Alexander played Boris Badenov.
Mm, yeah.
In the Rocky and Bullwinkle
yes.
movie. He says in that movie, in the, you know, the gag reel.
Mm-hmm.
If he says, if I seem to have turned, if I turn... Kill me. I need you to kill me on the spot.
Mm-hmm.
Do it for me. Do it for my family. If Boris takes over, that's it. Because they didn't have these resources. They weren't able to talk about.
Yes, there was no analyst there.
Yes, like Captain Boomerang is now.
Yeah. Well, I remember when Alan Cumming played Nightcrawler. And just the idea of disappearing and reappearing. And he said, I remember he said to me one night, we were having pasta. And he said... Sometimes I want to disappear and not reappear
mm-hmm.
in a pool or something. And think about that. And shouldn't he have been able to talk to an analyst and not me? Because I had a mouthful of pasta. I couldn't even respond to tell him that it would be okay.
Disappear and not reappear in a pool? I see. He wants to, yes, he wants to go into the bottom part of a pool
mm-hmm.
and
maybe swim through the filter or something. I don't know. I mean, I couldn't take it all apart. And I don't know because I've never occupied a role quite like that.
Right. Mm-hmm. What's the scariest? What's the scariest rabbit hole you've gone down? Was it Bugs Bunny?
For me, that's not as scary because he is such a merry prankster. And so there's always the sort of glee and the irreverence there mm-hmm. to kind of be able to laugh at himself. So for me, I guess it was scarier when I had to be in that Cheaper by the Dozen movie.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I wish we'd had a therapist on set for that.
Yeah.
Because a lot of those children were sexual deviants.
Yes.
And I'm not saying Hillary Duff when I say that, but I'm not saying Hillary Duff when I say that. And so just the idea of all those kids in that family mm-hmm. and just
and
the,
you're a park and the, ranger who's trying to
wrangle them all and the implication that ultimately some of those kids are going to have to be put down. That's a... On screen, but it's obviously going to happen. It's too much for that house. So knowing that...
I think that was cut. I mean, I guess you were in it, but I always assumed that they just cut that scene because at the end of the movie, well, it goes, there's 12 at the beginning.
Yeah.
And then there's 7.
Mm.
And then 4.
Yeah.
And you never see... They're just not there.
Yeah, and they are being invited into my cabin during the
right.
scenes that wound up on the cutting room floor, and it's a mm-hmm. time issue and mm-hmm. some other things. But the way that some of them met their end was pretty gruesome.
Mm-hmm. Was it like a cutting room? Is that in the cabin?
Yes, there's a yes. The cabin has a cutting room floor, and. Just the nefarious tools that I had designed for that film. I don't really like to think about it. What's the scariest thing you've done in terms of your brain getting molded into the shape of a madman?
boy. And it's like you say, I don't love thinking about it.
Well, we had no analysts on set. Yeah. So to go back to that time.
Mm-hmm. I guess it would be the guy who was on U-571 who gets blown off with a cannonball.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes, you know, you're like, you know that moment where you're like drifting off to sleep? You know,
sure,
you can feel yourself like, okay, you know.
Kermit sings about it.
Imagine just before you reach the point of sleep, in your mind, a cannonball is hurtling into your face.
Yeah.
And so now you're up, now you're awake, now your girlfriend is up, your kids are up, you know, because you've got to bring everyone close after something like that happens to you.
Well, you got to get your kids in there to
dislodge the cannonball.
Hug you, but also, yes, I was going to say also to be sort of cannonball interference.
Mm-hmm. A human shield.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah, because there was no one there to say, like, this is a character, this is a movie.
If only we'd had a therapist to talk about and go, like, for them to say, well, you're reading lines from a script and you kind of knew that. And a lot of the way you look is makeup and stuff.
Right.
And
this is a guy, you know, this is a comic book character. There's no reason to take it to this insanely dark place. This is for children.
It's almost silly, yeah. So that if that had been there, because what we had to do was just sort of seal off these memories and throw away the key, and now they're seeping back out on the. And I think you hear that we're getting chills.
Mm-hmm.
Ah. Okay. Well, I did that to myself. Picturing when I was being that park ranger again.
We have great segment coming up. Tom Sharpling is back. He was on the show a few weeks ago, and we have talked since then. And we all agree that it would be good to take another stab at his appearance. We both had things that we would.
Yeah, I think he embarrassed himself, and I think that.
But we have stuff that I think we could have done better as well.
Oh and, gosh, yes. I have had better ideas since.
And that's coming right up on Hollywood Handbook. So, I'm in the office with Eve, 6, and the teacher's like, speak up, tell me what happened. And I'm like, well, none of these guys are going to talk about it, I will. They said they wanted to go to be pushed on the swing, so it went all the way around.
Uh-huh.
They asked me to do that.
Yeah.
And they're sitting, there's the three of them all stacked up on the one.
On the one swing.
On the one. So I push Max Collins, lead singer. He's on the bottom.
Yeah.
He's not holding on enough, so he just shoots out the front.
From under the other two.
Yes.
And they drop down?
The other two drop down, falling in different directions, both sort of flipping so they land on their heads. The swing doesn't move at all.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he slid straight off. Well, he's always wearing slippery pants.
And so they got suspension.
Good. That's good.
Mm-hmm. And I got an A+.
One time Max is playing with a slinky out there, and he starts shooting it out straight. And
it hit
me on my neck, gave a red mark. And we go to principal, and he says, Max says, just tell him we were playing together. And I go, no, you were playing and hurt my neck.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I wound up getting detention. He told the principal that I punched him first. And believe me, if I had punched him first, you would know it.
Hey, welcome to Hollywood Handbook.
I'm not done, Hayes. Yeah, forget it. I don't want to get into this.
No. Finish. I honestly did think you were.
No,
it felt like a sort of a coda on the story. But you were saying if you had punched Max Collins, then people would know.
Yeah, you would know it.
Uh-huh.
Because I would have said that in the story.
Right. And you got detention.
Yeah.
And there was something else you wanted to say.
Joke's on them. I got some great work done in there. So go ahead.
Hey, welcome to Hollywood Handbook, an insider's guide to kicking butt and dropping names in the red carpet line back hallways of this industry we call showbiz.
What up?
We don't need a long introduction for this. Everyone has heard the last episode we did with Tom Sharpling. And you can hear it in the episode. It's not going to be a surprise to anyone that this is one that we would like another shot.
We'd like a do-over, yeah.
Tom is here. Say hi, Tom.
Hi.
Tom came on our...
I feel the attitude so much more positive.
It's better. Yes. It really is better.
Yeah.
Yes. Tom came on our show. He has a podcast. We were trying to help him find a home for the podcast, mm-hmm. potentially on the Earwolf Network, being willing to introduce him to the people. And this was prior to the Scripps acquisition, actually, mm-hmm. if you can remember. It's honestly, I'd say that, like,
pre-Scripps.
Yes. What was it like before Scripps came in?
Back in the Stone Age, before we had all these resources that Scripps has provided. It's really
and the cash.
It's night and day.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, the cash is nice. I like what the cash buys me.
So Tom came and we had this conversation. I think we both have things we want to apologize for. Tom let his temper get out of control. He acted like he didn't know who Seth Godin was.
Yes. Yes,
I did.
I recall that.
That I actually did not know who he was.
Let's not start this.
No, well, okay. In golf, it's a mulligan, right? Is that what they call it? Like you take a mulligan when you're just like, we're just going to do this over?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes.
So we're just taking a mulligan on that last
named podcast. After?
Jerry Mulligan from
Carrie Mulligan.
From who?
Carrie Mulligan.
It's pronounced Carrie.
Yes.
Carrie
Mulligan. From? She's done Letterman, but she's in an education. And,
I sort of consider her Carrie Mulligan from Letterman.
Mm-hmm. In Drive, if you remember,
great appearance.
She was in love with the silent scorpion man. Mm-hmm. And so we would like another crack at it. And hopefully we find a scorpion man of our own during this to sort of brood and inspire. Now, I'd like to start just, I want to apologize, and Tom, this is to you, and stop touching the things, but so this is from me to you. I'm sorry I didn't realize, I think at the time, what a baby you were and how...
Oh, this is... Go on, nope.
And how much you would fly off the handle over the smallest suggestion, and I could have used more tact maybe in making suggestions that were positive that would have made things better for you, but I could have done it in a way that didn't imply you had done something wrong.
Okay, you know what? In the spirit of just being big, I accept your apology.
Thank you.
For me... this is a question of research, I guess. I didn't realize going in that you invented Monk, and mm-hmm. For you to have come on here and for us not to discuss
the defective detective.
Yes, to go into all the mysteries you devised, like to not deal with that aspect of your career. That must have been very disorienting for you.
That you didn't take. You didn't show the proper respect for the entire body of work.
Yes. For the canon.
It was a little hurtful. Yes. I mean, I'd be lying if I said it didn't sting a little bit. But thank you. I appreciate your apology.
Because this character you create, for people who don't know.
I didn't create the character.
Oh.
I was a staffer on the show.
But you invented a lot of his moves.
I contributed writing to the show. Sure. I mean,
you were the one that said he should be all fucked up weird, right?
That was not me, no.
Hmm.
I wrote.
You made him a detective?
Not me either, no. I came on after
you knew Shaloub.
I do, and I currently do.
That's nice.
It is nice.
Did Monk overlap with him doing Men in Black?
It did not.
Oh, is that, he looked crazy.
Is that Monk? Is that the same universe?
Well, this, yes.
The Blackiverse?
Yes. Is that part of it? Like, are we supposed to wonder if his head's going to
balloon? No. He's not running he's not an alien running a pawn shop on Monk. Like, he's an earthling on Monk. Okay. And there are no aliens on Monk.
But that isn't what he would – that is what he would say.
Yes, exactly.
If he was the alien,
yes, he until would somebody say that. Gunned his head explode.
Yeah, has to blow up and then like, oh, great.
Reinflate.
Mm-hmm.
If he was – Monk would not – see, this is – we're off – no, this is stupid again already.
Let's talk about S5E14, Mr. Monk visits a farm.
Yeah. E14 would make that. That's we're talking season 5, episode 14.
S5E14, yes.
Okay, yeah. So that would be...
Disher retires.
Yes. So now we're... If it's 14, then we're 5 into the back 7. Sure.
He does not seem, if I could say, and I don't recall this episode specifically, but I imagine he's not suited to farm life. It's a little messy in that environment, is it not?
Well, he's trying to probably find some peace and quiet from all these murder mysteries he needs to be solving.
Well, see, this is... I didn't come here to talk about specific episodes of a thing I did that I couldn't even... I don't remember any of it anymore.
Okay, forget specific episodes. Any hanky-panky between him and that assistant?
No. No. Is this like some sort of like Monk gotcha thing now? It's like, it's weird because you guys clearly don't know anything about it, but you're trying to like catch me on like a loophole.
This is genuine curiosity.
I don't know what you're talking about.
This is genuine curiosity. We've got three adult men in here, and are we going to talk about sex or what? I mean, we're talking Monk. He's got a female assistant. You never wondered if there was any hanky-panky?
Well, I knew there wasn't.
Okay.
It didn't fit the storyline.
All right.
So I guess this is just part of our larger endeavor with you, finding areas of strength, knowledge, to figure out what your ideal show should be, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, isn't that still like sort of our mission here?
Yeah, we don't want you to have to retire early like Disher.
And that is, you have to admit, Monk knowledge is, I mean, that's probably your number one, what you're bringing to the
table. That's the biggest asset that we can identify thus far.
I'd have to go back to school on it. Kind of like, if I remember correctly, season, well, that I do know is Seth, Godin or Grodin?
Seth Grodin, yeah, right.
Yeah. Is it, which, it's Godin.
Yes.
Yeah. And he writes what, like money books?
Goading me to get upset.
He writes money books or something?
Yes, he writes money books.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Big pitch, Monk punks. We've seen the success of Gilmore Girls. Mm-hmm. We've seen these recap shows.
Uh-huh.
Go Bayside. All they do is just watch a show and say what. But imagine, and you don't have to work too hard, you watch the show and say what is what happened, but you actually worked there and in part created it.
So I would just do episodes, my show, The Best Show, mm-hmm. which is like a comedy call-in show, like a fun thing, would now turn into recapping a TV series I worked on episode by episode.
Well, these other guys are only in front of the scenes, whereas you come from a perspective.
Like, I remember when we were doing Mr. Monk Gets Hypnotized, that when I heard we were getting what's his face to play the shrink in it, the guy from West Wing. What's the guy from West Wing?
Richard Schiff.
Yeah. When I heard Richard Schiff was on board, then it's like, all right, well, let's like look at these lines again coming out of his mouth versus just what we came up with in the room.
Let's shift it up.
Yeah, well, that's exactly
shift
what
up the dialogue.
I do think we said
that. It's a paradigm shift.
So yeah, so that's what you're saying. The show, I would not do that show. No, that would be, that's not the show I would.
You signed an NDA?
No, I didn't.
The Last Day of Monk, not allowed to tell Monk secrets.
So you know what an NDA is?
Yes.
It's a what? What does it stand for? Because I've done. I'm
he's
say
trying. This is a trap.
Well, let
he's
me just
trying
say
to
this.
Get me to.
Oh,
to,
yes.
He's trying to get me to say.
He
a
wants
word
you to say
that
but
I'm not allowed to say. Blake doing attitude.
This is what I mean,
This is. We've done this before.
I did my homework on you guys since the last time I was here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like in the movie Patton. You ever see the movie Patton?
Yeah.
I read your book. One,
yeah,
I read your like book. Remember when he said
Oswald?
Yeah, no. Where he's like a Giants fan, he gets beat
oh,
up.
Oh, right.
No, that's a movie called Big Fan.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Oh, so that's what you're a big fan of ours, is what you're getting at.
Look, I'm not regretting this yet, being back here.
Mm-hmm.
I still think we can pull this out.
Mm-hmm.
We're still on the runway.
Mm-hmm.
The apologies
modeling.
From you guys were nice.
Still doing a modeling
well,
show.
Well, no, they're not that kind of runway.
Oh, yes. Oh, right. Okay, you would rather recap Project Runway. Go all the way back through, remember what the wild personalities, Santino and the like.
Mm-hmm.
Doing your Tim Gunn. Do your Tim Gunn real quick for us, Tom.
I don't do impressions.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay. Well, we found another weakness and we just have to find a way to mask it.
Sure. Does he just leave like that?
The engineer Cody?
Yeah. That's really distracting.
And
he leaves the door open.
Leaves the door open, changing the quality of the sound significantly. Yeah. I've come to accept just an unspoken thing that it's a bowel issue and just not mention it.
The room tone.
I thought he had a roast in the oven because the frequency with which he's running off to the kitchen.
He's got a check on the roast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Maybe just glaze it again or something.
Mm-hmm.
Because it just feels different now in here. It's like yes. I hear street noise.
Mm-hmm.
But as I was saying, I read your book, so to speak. I know the story of you guys now, too. So this is a different kind of dance this time.
Well, we're an open book.
I can hold my own against you guys and kind of throw stuff right back at you this time.
All right, lay something on me.
Is that a scratch-off ticket over there? What is that?
Yes, we give these. People deserve them.
Are those the prank ones where, like, you win
and snake then, pops out?
And people, no, a snake doesn't jump out of the scratch-off ticket.
Spray ink on you?
It's the ones where it says, like, you win, and then, like, the person's jumping around the room, and then...
Because it's so hot in their mouth?
Well, no, because the ticket says... Because it's fake underneath
the... Fake dog do, yeah.
No, it's not fake dog do. It's okay. It's like you scratch it off. And it says like you win, and then it says just like ha ha, just kidding. And then you film
and
the
you
person.
Pull a string, and it comes away. And they're
no,
trying to
that's
pick it up.
That would be in addition to what was underneath the
yes.
So okay. Is that one of those?
Is that
tickets?
Is this the book
that I know read? About you? No. This is
paper, but
this is just
it has words, but it's flat paper.
I'm just. Trying to hold my own here with this without feeling like...
It was weird. You came at us like you figured us out now and you were going to lay some heavy stuff, but then you just asked him if it was a scratch-off ticket. Mm-hmm. Now...
I was trying to knock him off.
You're taking the long way around.
I was trying to just knock him off his game a little bit, Hayes. But it didn't... It maybe didn't track as much because you guys...
I've never seen him get rattled. He's like... Hitch.
Uh-huh. But I can do the same to you, too.
Oh, I don't know.
I mean, what are those sunglasses over there?
Hey, hold on. Now, wait a damn second.
Okay, uh-huh. Listen, when we had you back here.
I mean, it was inside and you
come into my studio.
Uh-huh.
Well, Scripps' studio. But that I scheduled time in.
Mm-hmm.
And you're attacking the thing on my table that I wear and just shield my eyes? It's California.
Uh-huh. They couldn't sit in the car?
Oh, Jesus.
Uh-huh.
I'm really fucking steamed now. Oh, I didn't want to have to do this, Tom.
Yeah.
But it might be time to fight fire with fire.
Uh-oh.
How come when you're doing Monk,
which I haven't done in a long time.
Yeah, exactly.
See, that's, yeah, yes. How come?
Thank you.
Yeah. Wake up. Yeah. Do some Monk for
Get
once.
Get back in. Yeah. Do some Monk. At least that's something.
To be fair, look, to be fair, the sunglass thing was a low blow. So I do apologize for that. It is California. I'm sorry, Sean.
It's safer to have them.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I apologize for that. The scratch-off tickets, I'm still a little puzzled by. Like, is that like a...
It's a treat. Like, it's just a treat.
Just like you know? Like after you a hard podcast, you scratch off some tickets to kind of blow off some steam.
It's a gift for guests. You actually get something when you do this show. Not like when people but go and get, do Monk Punks well, and you don't give them anything.
I wouldn't know that because I didn't get one last time. But that was pre-scripts.
Number one, I'm not sure you earned it last time, and okay. It's not necessarily that they weren't here.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the stuff that you said last time was, let's just face it.
What, like, yeah.
Dumb stuff.
We also, the way, I mean, the thing we can do with these is Cody can, if he like rubs his face on these, he has a specific kind of human grease that where you can see what's underneath the cards without scratching it off, and then it fades away. And if you don't scratch it, you can return it.
Okay. Well, what about this? If he doesn't wash the grease for a while, would it get strong enough to go to like one of the lottery ticket vending machines? And could you see through it inside, like through the glass?
Like, could the grease march in there on its own power?
Yeah, and then you'd be like, all right, let's just buy those and don't buy those because there's a bunch of losers in that
one.
Yeah,
we want the third ticket, the eighth ticket. We want 12 tickets after that. And it's the grease telling us the secrets. So the grease marches off his face, stomps inside the little case, sort of dances across the tickets, then comes back and climbs in Cody's ear and tells him the secrets. This sounds like a good thing.
Yeah, and does the grease come back, or is it just gone once it goes off his face?
See, this is the painful thing about it. It can't survive on its own.
Okay.
And so,
it's got a very short time span.
Sure, like Osmosis Jones, like that kind of thing.
Exactly
where it's just
like
once
Osmosis
it's gone.
Jones, yes.
So you have seen it.
I have.
And so this is, I mean, part of why we arranged to do this again the way we did is because what maybe we're looking for with you is – a partner, you're hosting the show essentially solo,
yeah.
Talking just to an invisible friend.
The listenership,
something.
I call
right.
it.
Right. So you call it the listenership. So how about this? You're dressed as a pirate captain. Maybe even Jack Sparrow. We tied in with some of that stuff.
Oh, so you're being super literal with the listenership.
It just gave me an idea for some kind of hook for the show because honestly, you've talked about your show a few times and I can't picture it.
Okay. Well,
the thing
is you're just supposed to listen to it and not necessarily picture it.
Oh, please.
I mean, maybe I should just focus on maybe I should be wearing sunglasses while I do it or something.
Tom!
That would
You know what? Tom, I'll tell you what this isn't going to be.
What's that?
This isn't going to be you apologizing for saying something about my sunglasses and then saying something else about my sunglasses. I promise that's not the game. And if it happens one more time, I'm not going to be held responsible for what I do. And Scripps and nobody else is going to be able to protect you.
So I can't hide behind this pile of money?
Yeah, they got to get rid of this. I mean,
should that be in here?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's like from the. I see, like Jeff Ulrich comes in and takes out just a little bit at a time. I don't know why he can't just like take the whole. You know, get some people.
Well, he's
in here
got that
just, like,
little tiny. I don't want to call it a purse, but he's got a very small carrying case for the money, and he can only fit so much in there.
Yes,
it's like a fashion thing or something, but he has a very very small pouch.
Yeah.
That he's putting the money in, and I wish he would get something bigger because it's very strange to have it in here all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to be held responsible.
And I can, I mean, for me, it's, you know, like I've seen money, but for someone like Engineer Cody to be like, he has to be here like smelling it all day.
If he finds out what it is and what it could do with it, that's trouble.
Tom, what about Cody?
Yeah. What about him?
I'm just looking at you guys sitting together and I just see like, is this it? Is this what it is?
Is this a combination?
So pairing me with Cody.
What about that?
For what, for when, what, who would do what role on the show?
Well, let's see.
Oh, I'll, okay.
Yeah, let's hear what it might sound like.
Okay.
Let's just do.
Testing.
Yeah, let's just do the podcast of you guys. Let's just kind of play it out. Is my sound still going, Cody?
Yeah.
And what are we doing here? Which?
Well, first, it's kind of hard to see if this is the computer monitors.
Yeah, that's way. Let's keep it that way, actually.
This is how we find it sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, we just play it out and we see what works.
Okay.
So let's just do it from the top. It's the Tom and Cody Show at 7:77 a.m.
That's back again. That I thought we said.
Here's Tom Eggs.
Hey everybody, welcome back to the show. It's clock on the walls telling me it's 7:77. I hope everybody's going to have a great day today. It's real sunny out there. You might want to, if you're going to be driving, not going to say you want to drive without anything on your eyes. Might want to think about something to help protect your vision from getting hit in the sun in your eyes. They sell these things called glasses that people wear for when they have vision problems. They sell these things now that don't correct your vision, but they protect your eyes from the sun. They are called sunglasses, and you really might want to check them out. There are all sorts of...
Enough! And this is what you do. You're falling into your old patterns.
Hold on. I'm still
going. This is what I'm saying.
Throw it over to Cody.
Yeah, he's raising his hand.
Sunglasses. Sun shades.
Yeah.
You visors. Sure you want to be on that side of this thing, Code?
Oh, baby, I'm already here.
Yeah, thank you, Cody. What's it like, Cody, when you see one of these dipshits walking down Sunset Boulevard with their sunglasses on? Don't you just want to, like, throw a brick in their face?
Ring their little necks.
Brick right? in my face, little neck? This better not be about me.
So the topic today is sunglasses and the douches who wear them. The number is, what's the number here?
1-800-EARWOLF.
1-800-EARWOLF. Let's go to the phone.
Sorry, I think
right
it's actually
now.
Scripps.
It's 1-800-SCRIP. Scripts? Is it S-C-R-I-P-T-S?
Just put as many P's in to get seven
to get
numbers.
To the seven, okay.
Yeah.
1-800-SCRIPS. Let's go to the phones right now. We've got Hayes from Los Angeles calling in. Hey, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Well, no, that's supposed to...
No, I'm curious. I'm curious to see where this is going.
I can do this.
I guess the show... I sort of like this version where Cody plays... All of the callers as well.
Okay. All right. Hey, we got Hayes from Hollywood on the line. What's going on, Hayes?
Oh, hi. I'm Hayes. I like sunglasses, too. Why are you talking to my friend? Wait, wears them sometimes. What's wrong with him?
Now, Hayes, you're the host or co-host of a show called Hollywood Handbook. Is that correct?
That's true.
Yeah. And you do it with who's the guy you do it with?
Sean Clements.
Uh-huh. Sean wears sunglasses?
He does.
And what do you think about that?
This is about me.
Two things. Okay.
All right, I'm hanging up on this guy.
Yeah.
So, Cody, how do you think those calls went?
You know, not great. I think
okay.
We should
listen. First of all,
change the number here.
The whole backstory with the sunglasses, with Sean's sunglasses, is it's Blues Brothers. It's just Blues Brothers. He wants to be one of the Blues Brothers.
Uh huh. Because it's L. Who is it?
If you
Elwood
look at history,
Jake Elwood.
There's Blue Mighty Brothers Mac. And Blues Brothers 2000.
BBY2K. Yes.
And I feel like there must be another one coming.
Mm-hmm.
If you just look mathematically.
If you look at it's a pattern thing.
You could, look, I'm not in the game the way you guys are. because the BBY2K had a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
You pull a vacation.
Mm-hmm.
You're that kid grown up now.
Mm-hmm.
And you're trying to get the Blues Brothers back together again.
And if you crunch the numbies on this stuff, you're going to find out that we're not that far off from it being time for another. I don't know what it'll be if it's BB2K30. Yeah.
If you look at the ancient Blues Brothers calendar, it does.
Yes. It all points to, you know, pretty soon. And so if I'm not ready, then anyone could just swoop in and become the role that I was meant to play, because I love the blues. And it's such a rich expression. And to have two white guys in sunglasses with hats on representing the blues the way it was meant to be sang.
Doing the bluesiest thing there is, which is the splits.
Mm-hmm. So if I could be a part of something like that, then it would make this whole wild journey worth it to me.
Mm-hmm. So I'm sorry for then teasing you about the sunglasses.
So that was about me?
Earlier?
The stuff with Cody and all that?
Are you going to flip out if I say it was?
I'm cool as a cucumber, baby.
It was all about you.
Wow.
It was meant to hurt.
Wow. And it was to hurt me? Wow. Something's welling up inside of me and I'm putting it back down. And I don't want to taz out on you guys.
And I second that. You don't want him to taz out on you.
Okay.
I can't, because I used to taz out in the studio sometimes before Scripps owned all the microphones. And so it was a little safer. Yeah.
And now they just shut off if your levels go too high, the mics just have like a governor on them that just, they just click off. Mm-hmm. So you know better.
Yeah. So what I'm doing is trying to control it through some of my breathing exercises.
Mm-hmm. Second thing.
Which could help your blues harmonica playing.
Hum, 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 hum. Oh, 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 oh. Sorry. Are you hearing those breathing exercises on mic?
Well,
are those coming through on mic?
It's better than the alternative, which is you becoming a tornado.
Wee, 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 wee.
Here's the other thing about the show that for me is why this is maybe not going to work. It's Cody's show. He's eating your lunch.
Really?
When it's you and Cody, it's like you are like lifts in his shoes, basically. So you like support him a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah,
you make him, you know, you,
well,
like,
I didn't,
you, you
I didn't
make
see
his
it.
Legs look a little longer.
I didn't see it that way at all.
But what and his calves look nicer.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's, but what it is, what the show is Cody's.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, thanks, Tom.
He,
so, wait, hold
he
on.
He blew you off my ears, I guess, in this way where then when you would speak afterwards, I would feel pretty pissed that you were stealing Cody's shine.
That I was just saying anything.
Yeah, because I wanted Cody to have a little more runway.
So,
is this why you don't work with a partner in general?
No, this is, all right, see, we're all the way back where we were last time, but it's somehow even worse this time because it's making less sense than it did last time also.
Oh, okay.
So you're saying that I, Grease face over here. No offense. I mean, is that something you're into?
Grease nose is really, it's mostly coming from his nose.
So I did the thing. He missed every cue and kind of thing I was leading him to in terms of anything having to do with comedy. And then he ate my lunch.
Mm-hmm.
You put your sunglasses on now, so this is now.
I just had a feeling.
Okay.
And now this character is the baby blues.
This is baby blues grown up now. Yeah, like Rusty from Vacation.
Well, that movie's in theater. Don't spoil. That's the end of the movie where he turns out to be Rusty.
Wait, Baby Blues is Rusty?
No, it's at the end of the Vacation movie.
Tom.
Where, Yeah.
The end of the Vacation movie, they reveal that Ed Helms is actually Anthony Michael Hall.
Yes.
Okay. Does Anthony Michael Hall come in at the end? Did they like morph or something?
Ed Helms' character stole his family.
So it's like The Gift.
Yeah.
It's got a twist.
Yeah. And like he shows up at the end because Ed Helms was leading the family into a trap, into like this shit pool. And Anthony Michael Hall appears but he's too late. They've already taken some of the shit water in their mouths and like spat it out and stuff. And then they find some toilet paper and then Anthony Michael Hall's too late.
Which no one would do that in a normal pool. Just spit water.
Just take some water in their mouths and just spit it into the air. You don't do that? You're not just enjoying that you're in some water?
When I'm like 3 feet away from other people, do I just spit water out that they're going to be swimming in?
It's
just
fun to gargle the pool water?
It's just fun to be in the water.
No, is that an LA thing? Is that like a Hollywood thing? Did you just gargle pool water?
It's a people thing, brother.
Okay, well, I guess I'm not your kind of people then, brother.
Yeah.
The sunglasses being on your forehead is like... It's like Baby Blues and Sean are here at the same... They're sharing the same face.
And that's what I wanted to kind of get across to Tom, if he is able to reconcile that idea. Now, Tom, the last time you were here, you brought up frontal torpedoes a lot.
I think that was exclusively...
Women and frontal torpedoes.
I didn't say anything about that, and you guys said everything about that.
And now you mentioned The Gift... And there is a movie coming out now called The Gift, but there was a movie before called The Gift, which featured Katie Holmes' frontal torpedoes.
And that's
on the top
one
of
you're
a car.
Talking
and
about.
I have a feeling that's what you're talking about. And I have a feeling you brought it up just so you could say that you like that scene. So let's get it out of the way and try to move back to more reasonable themes.
Let's do the popcorn
gallery.
Okay.
See, this is what I mean by me knowing your thing. This is the segment.
Yes. Now. So this is what you were building up to?
I thought it was called Hot Dog Gallery last time.
And that's I've right.
Since learned it's called Popcorn
hot
Gallery.
Hot Dog Fixation. Yes.
See, you guys keep...
The whole thing, like frontal torpedoes, I'm starting to think of as like... is like some kind of analogy for breasts.
That's what I put together after the show last
time. That's between the two of you. I've never said that ever.
And that's like a phallic thing. It all has these like layers that I have honestly no desire to even explore.
Not in this weird roundabout way. It's like,
see, I don't like.
We're all grown ups.
I don't know if that's true, that we're all grown ups.
Well, we don't know how old Engineer Cody Boy is.
The Popcorn Gallery. It's time for the Popcorn Gallery. It's a segment on Hollywood Handbook. Let's do some questions from our listeners.
Oh, so there are questions this time.
Yes, we did get some questions for you because last time you were like, oh, Nick Kroll got questions. Like, aren't I, like, shouldn't I get the same treatment as Nick Kroll?
Yeah, you were a baby about it.
I wasn't.
What?
I wasn't a baby about it.
Okay.
All you guys have done is...
I don't think I even said that.
...needle me and trick me. And then I give it back to you guys one-tenth of what you've given, and then I'm worried that you're going to taz out. You're, like, threatening me with violence, basically, which is...
I never said... We can take it to court.
Taz out?
I never said anything about becoming violent.
Well, you said you're going to taz...
I said, I hope I don't taz out.
I hope you don't, which is threatening me even more.
Hey, if you're scared of me being, you know, tazing out, reasonable feeling to have, but I never threatened any kind of specific physical violence. I think I said I might destroy the microphones.
Which is physical violence.
Oh, please. You're a microphone now? You wish.
Questions?
I honestly want to like get on this idea of like that you are a microphone.
It's pretty funny.
And honestly, in your dreams. Not in a million years.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a question from Superman.
Superman, okay. Yeah.
My question is, eggs. What's not to get, bro?
And this is Superman asking me this question.
Yes.
Well, I would say to him, I'm glad your whole planet blew up and all your relatives are dead.
Dodging the question.
And this is a big
thing. And also not all his relatives are dead. He has a sister and a dog.
This deflection, you know what I mean, where it's this like defense mechanism that you have that I wish we could somehow break through.
Sure,
where you want to move the target a little bit. You don't want to face – there's something you don't get.
Mm-hmm.
And Superman knows that.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's like you make it a comic book thing.
Fine. What – okay.
This is yes.
Say that question was asked to you then, Hayes.
Yeah.
What's not to get? Well, how would you answer that?
Well, it wouldn't be asked to me because I get it. The understanding is that I get it.
Yeah.
And that you don't.
So you get it. Obviously, Sean must get it then. And Grease Knows over here gets it.
Totally get it.
Right? Then I get it too. I get it too. If he can say I get it, then I guess there's no floor on any of this. I get it too.
Here's a question, and this is actually something I've been wondering for a while. Yeah. This is from Hunch Hondo.
Mm-hmm.
Dear Ton, do you prefer to stay under the shadows of other bigger, more famous TV and movies people because you're allergic to the sun or because you're afraid to take big chances? So the question is, why do you make the choice to take a backseat to like other more famous people,
such as,
and to basically remain anonymous.
Well, like who? Who am I taking a back seat to?
Pete Holmes, Brownoller.
How am I taking a back seat to
Grease Nose?
Pretty fair.
He's not wrong. Yeah.
So I'm behind Grease Nose.
That's a great example.
Now.
Yes.
Grease Nose is a really great example.
Uh huh.
Because
why, in just like your short interaction with Grease Nose. Uh-huh.
You really let him drive the bus, and you basically kind of like were like, I think this is my stop, and you made them stop the bus, and you like got off the bus, and he kind of ran away with it.
Well, I don't even – look, I don't know two things about Pete Holmes.
See, I think you missed my stop back there. I mean, that was kind of you on the bus. What were you going to say about Pete Holmes?
Everyone knows two things about Pete Holmes. He's raised Catholic, and he's in therapy. You don't know –
Well, now I do.
Oh, give me a break.
I don't know. Does he love life?
Read Podmas. Read a news book every once in a while.
Read Podmas. What's that? That's the AV Club thing.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to. I mean, who writes the Podmas things? Like Eakin? I see that name over there.
Oh, all the big hitters.
Yeah, they have sort of a rotating cast of players. I think Ta-Nehisi Coates is
name a
doing
journalist.
Yeah.
And they're probably doing something
Woodward
with Podmas.
And do they focus on you
Bob
guys?
I think Bob Woodward did one recently.
Woodward's doing it.
What kind of shine do they give this show over there?
Jack McCollum did a great what kind of shine do they give this one?
Yeah.
We're kind of post-Podmas in a way. Mm-hmm. Don't you feel that, Hayes?
So, okay.
It's about
– So if they contacted you, you guys would just say like, we'll pass.
They have a segment called We See What You Said There.
Uh-huh.
Which is great quotes. Mm-hmm. Imagine opening the door where this show is eligible for We See What You Said There at all.
Sure.
And then
trying to pick one thing that where you see what we said. Because it's sort of a like, I don't know if you're familiar with the style of joke, but there's sort of like someone will do a cleverness and commit that, and then someone else will go, and I see what you did there. Or even better, the person committing the cleverness will go, see what I did there?
Right.
And so they're playing off that.
Mm-hmm.
And
but this time, you're saying something.
With said.
Which is technically what was happening in the original version.
Oh, yes. In the original version, it was always that they were saying it.
But this is an improvement on that. It's a more accurate
portrayal
of what's actually going on.
And legally, it's more protectable. Mm-hmm. But
it's ironclad.
Yes. It's Iron Man. But if you open the door even just a little squeaky little creak in order to sort of draw a single cleverness out of any given episode, let's say the Nick Thune episode of our program, you're suddenly going to find that you're under an avalanche of sort of, if you can picture a cartoon character opening a closet and the tennis racket falls and the bowling ball bonks his head and all the different pieces because there's so much inside. You might be good on a PodMass thing. They'd be pulling some of the Grease Nose's stuff.
So Grease Nose.
And that gets you press.
Grease Nose, but he didn't say. Did you see what I said there at the end of any of his quips?
So well, that, does that make them ineligible? They're plugging that in.
Also, so it'll say, like, you see what I said there as the header. Then it'll say...
The header says, we see what you said there. And then the end of each
it'll say like,
quote, they plug in.
It'll say, like, that lottery ticket's worth $75. Mm-hmm. Let's buy that roll. Did you see what I said there?
See what I said then there?
--, Grease Nose, comma.
It's kind of like
handbook,
in. It's kind of like in bed.
Open parentheses. Earwolf Industries. Close parentheses.
Well, it'd be his show.
Okay.
Which I guess would be called Grease Lightning.
See what he said there.
And this if is it said, how it goes, but would this it is say, how it works. Ba boom, ba boom.
Would it say Grease Nose and in parentheses Engineer Cody? Because you just call yourself, are you going to say goodbye to the idea of that your name is Cody?
It never really was. I was Jockstrap and Shitbird, Grease Nose.
It seems like Grease Nose has definitely moved to the top of the top of the charts here. That's going to be around for a while. You might want to ease back into.
Wait, I'm sorry. I forgot to introduce you guys. It's the Tom and Cody Show! And featuring Grease Nose! Here's Grease Nose!
I hate this fucking song.
Hey, Grease Nose. What's going on?
It's so cool. Hates his own theme song.
Badass.
What are you doing this weekend, Grease Nose?
Probably sleeping in.
I'm going to check out some of those.
See?
I love it.
That's good. And imagine what his pillow is going to look like after a long night of...
Tom, have you ever heard of punk rock?
I have, yes.
Okay. Well, you wouldn't know it from hearing some of the stuff you're doing on mic.
Because you listen to what this guy's doing.
Yeah.
The most punk rock thing is to hate punk music.
Okay.
So to hear like...
That is pretty punk.
To hear punk music and to be like, that sucks. Shit's lame.
And then say you want to sleep?
Uh-huh.
Come on. You see what he said there.
It was pretty punk rock.
Gracias, amigo.
So Grease Nose?
Yes.
What are you going to do this weekend?
That's probably... That's
are we doing the show still?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that sums it up. Maybe doing some sex or something.
And see, what a great way to phrase having sex, to say that you're like doing sex
or something.
Yeah. To like to just like invert it in such a way. I've actually never heard that specific phrasing of like saying you're going to have sex, like I'm doing sex and stuff. And so it's just like he just approaches the world from this kind of distorted lens.
And it's felt like he was trying to set you up for some of your frontal torpedo stuff.
So wait, it's like a different lens that he's seeing things through.
Yes.
Almost like the kind of lens you'd wear if like the sun was irritating your eyes, right? And you like would put a lens in front of them to keep it so your eyes were not irritated.
I'm so over this.
How would you hold those? How would
I'm
you
so
hold those
over
lenses?
This.
How would you hold those lenses to get in front of your eyes without keeping your hands up in front of your face?
Tom, I'm so over this. I'm not even mad anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm sad
He's
for
not,
you.
But
it's pathetic. Honestly, we're trying to do you a favor here, and it's pathetic at this point that it's like, you don't want to learn, okay, fine, but to take it out on me, we've explained the Blues Brothers thing.
Okay.
The glasses were a gift from my papa.
If only I could have learned at the feet of Hayes and Sean and Grease Nose all about how to do it right. I've been doing my show for a long time, and... Now I've got to hear someone saying that they're doing sex or something. Is apparently he's got the keys to comedy now.
Sex is this universal human experience. We all know what it is, but what Cody's doing is looking at it just from this slightly different angle.
This distorted lens.
And it's something you look at every day, but now he's showing it to you in this other light where it's like, are you going to be able to think about sex ever again without hearing Grease Nose saying doing sex?
In your ear.
Like, yes.
whispering in your ear.
I imagine every single time that, you know, I get boned up, mm-hmm. It's going to be, for me...
That he's whispering in your ear saying...
Grease knows talking about it.
Or that he's whispering in your ear saying, like, that Walking Dead lottery ticket that's worth $200. You might want to buy that one.
It's a distorted lens.
Mm-hmm. See, but you're taunting me by saying that now, knowing you're hoping I take the bait so that I can get...
I'm past it.
I'm not doing that anymore.
I'm not even mad anymore, Tom.
But you're so mad.
It's actually,
right?
Tom, you're actually the one who's mad. Sean's not even mad.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I am mad. I'll admit, I'm totally mad because this was a gigantic waste of time again. This is the dumbest show.
No, just tell me what your time was.
What are you going to do?
Please, I'd love to hear what you would have gotten done.
No, let me finish.
Tom has the floor.
It's dumber now because it was dumb enough when it was you two and whoever that drip who was here last time. What was his name? The engineer?
Sam.
He wants us to call him Reek.
But this guy, mm-hmm. you're making like this guy's the second coming of you know, it's like...
I honestly didn't know. I thought he was a piece of shit until today. Uh-huh. I honestly did not like him.
I didn't know we were sitting about, here with uh-huh. Lenny Bruce.
I know. I mean, it's like the second coming of what's his face?
Lenny Bruce.
J.B. Novak.
Bill Hicks. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, no. Yes, because Novak is the second coming of Hicks.
Okay.
And so, yes, I guess that would make Grease Nose.
The third coming of Hicks.
Grease Novak.
Second coming of Novak.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What did you want to do this weekend, Tom?
I think I probably want to, at this point, walk into the ocean because I have no interest in living if this is the world I live in, where I'm doing everything wrong and I'm looking up at Grease Nose, who apparently is doing everything right.
What would walking into the ocean?
It would kill me. I would drown.
No, a wave would. They're waves. They just toss you back onto the shore.
Mm-hmm. And then you gotta walk in again.
Uh-huh. Okay, so I can't even escape this, is what you're saying. I'm trapped here.
You'll keep getting rescued.
Uh-huh.
By the waves.
Yeah. Well,
or
that's
a lifeguard.
Or a lifeguard. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Grease Nose.
Like in Staten Island Summer, you guys catch that?
I watched part one of it. I'm waiting. Part two comes out in 6 months.
The Staten Island Summer cycle?
Yeah.
Mm.
I'm interested to see, because it's about this boy going to Harvard.
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to pick it up at Harvard, part two?
See, that's a great question. You don't know. Because
I figure, look.
Is it next summer?
Or was Harvard Man already this part two?
Mm-hmm.
Did you see Harvard Man?
No, I didn't.
Grenier?
No.
Oh.
Now, I wouldn't even try to be on the level of writing for like a Staten Island Summer type thing. But if we were all blue skying, I would pitch, mm-hmm. have the kid try to bring a little bit of Staten Island to Harvard.
Yeah.
Right?
Is this the show?
You're on to something.
Yes. Is this the
What's
show?
What's that look like?
Staten Island Summer recap show. Tom?
Staten Island Summer so it would be one episode.
T Sharp, you hearing us?
So it would be, and then at the like the culmination of Staten Island Summer, I get the cast on, and that's like the final episode of my Staten Island Summer thing. That suddenly I'm in the room. I got Jost, Forte,
mm-hmm.
Strong, yep. Armisen. Strong.
You know what I like to call Jost. Colin Jost? Colin Jokes.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what he's bringing to the table.
Okay. Penny Marshall, get her in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Moynihan.
Bobby Jokes. Because he also tells jokes.
Then that other fella.
To double back quickly, I sometimes call Penny Marshall Penny Jokes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Sometimes, because she can also do serious
stuff. Yeah, I've seen her do some stuff that's pretty mind-blowingly... heartbreakingly, rivetingly dramatic. I gotta go.
What's up?
Go. I need to leave.
What's going on?
I have to leave. I can't be here anymore.
Why?
I have this thing.
What is it?
It's like an appointment.
What kind of appointment is it?
It's like, I don't want to say because I know. Leave it in the podcast.
You know?
Yeah. Does it have to do with getting new sunglasses?
Okay, so the ones that I have give me a headache because I don't know if the arms are too tight on my head, but I just can't wear them for very long. And I'm afraid that even if I did get the new Blues Brothers movie, okay, so great, okay, great, but then I can't be on set for those long days with my mom because it gives me such a headache that I keep having to lie down.
Mm-hmm. And then Dan Aykroyd's going to be like, young man, we need to go shoot the dance sequence with Bruno Mars.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
We need to do Everybody Needs Somebody with Bruno Mars.
Yeah.
And then you're going to be like, your head hurts.
I'll be like, oh, okay. Then I won't be moving the way that they really need you to move for that stuff.
Imagine if they're doing, oh, God, if they were doing like a Muddy Waters song and you suddenly have to lie down and everyone thinks that you're like making fun of Muddy Waters
and now he's dead.
For being dead.
Yeah.
And then you're looking up and John Goodman is saying like, come on, get up and dance with us.
Well, John Goodman is like, oh, we get to lie down? Wait, are we lying? Wait, we're lying down now. If he gets to do it, I obviously should get to do it as well.
Yeah, he may be saying, oh, good, someone else is lying down, taking the heat off me for once.
And he's asking, but now he's asking the PA to undo him from the Roman column that's attached to his back, that's there to, you know, create the illusion of a self-supported human being.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's, yeah, now suddenly all three of you guys are trying to do Proud Mary, I guess, on the ground.
Yeah.
Well, then they should just shoot it from above and you guys make like you're making snow angels, right? Just like Blues snow angels.
Yeah, well, hopefully it won't come to that, but if I don't find the right glasses, it might.
I think you're gonna. See, this is ending on a better note.
Yes, I'm glad. Yes, I'm glad we found it. Because, Sean, you opened up about the thing, something that was making you feel vulnerable.
I got some space to feel vulnerable.
Which we never would have found if Tom hadn't been doing his sunglasses thing and just like probing fruitlessly for a way to get into We See What You Said There.
Yeah, it's like we pushed through it.
Mm-hmm.
I think something good came out of this. Sean, you're going to get new sunglasses.
Mm-hmm. Tom, you launched Grease Nose's career.
Grease Nose is now a breakout star, and he's going to just be cleaning up all around town with these scratch-offs.
Lenny Grease, is that anything?
Should I start a Twitter?
Lenny Bruce, but he's Lenny Grease.
You see what I said there? Is next week just going to be the Hollywood Handbook edition? It's just going to... So, yeah, this was a winner.
Yes, I think so too. Okay. Let's give it's a big prize for who gets the pro version in this one.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder who it is. I guess it's just gonna be the first person I see who we haven't done yet. Oh, Jack Russell Brand.
Okay,
has he gotten it before?
I don't know.
You're in a real rush to get out of here. So just do a quick version of what Jack Russell Brand gets as his pro version prize.
Jack Russell Brand, you're gonna get pro version. So it's a sound of me sipping iced coffee through a straw.
But so it say bye, Tom.
Bye.
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio Boom.com. The wolf dead.
That was a HeadGum podcast.